This is Kieran Murphy, the founder and presenter of the Across the Four Lakes podcast.
With the exception of the Junior C, the Adult Football Championship finals were decided this weekend. Pat Ahern of Pat Ahern Photography is here to review the weekend's action. Pat, listen, welcome.
Thanks, Kieran.
Busy weekend.
Very busy weekend.
From the championship Thursday, gone since Thursday.
We had relegation on Thursday, relegation Friday, intermediate and senior, and then we had, of course, junior finals, intermediate finals, and then, of course, yesterday, the big one, the senior final between Tinryland and Aroge, which proved an interesting game, I suppose.
Interesting is one word, and I suppose it's a kind word, isn't it?
Well, let's put it like this: when you get to a final, and you lose, it's hard to be rough on people when they lose. And you know, I'm not here to come along and be rough on anybody. You know, I have great admiration for anybody who plays the game, and when they get to a final, I have more admiration for them. So I'm not here to knock them, but at the same time, I think after half an hour yesterday, the scoreline wasn't good, and the conditions were great. You know, the conditions were really good. It was a lovely day. It was a warm day. The ground had improved enormously from the previous evening after all the rain that was there on Saturday morning in particular. And there was four games on the pitch on Saturday. So, look, nobody can blame the pitch.
You know? Yeah, listen, from the start, Tinryland had set themselves up to win the throw-in. They won the throw-in. The ball broke out to the wings. Came to a Tinryland player. He had the whole of Dr. Cullen Park, Cullen Park, to run into. Yeah. And he turned and threw the ball back in. He kicked the ball back into the centre of the field. Yeah. And that set a tone for the game. Aroge, look, we're always going to be cautious in the first half. Whatever about the second half, as it turned out, they weren't cautious. They were able to play their own style of game. But the tone was set from the very first minute.
Look, I haven't seen the video, but just looking at, I was taking a few photographs, you say, Kieran, at the match. And I was looking at the clock on the scoreboard, and I think it read about 1:40, 1:45 in the first half. And fair play to Tinryland, they won the throw-in again in the second half. And about 1:20, 1:25, they had possession. And they never broke past the Aroge 45-metre line. Like, I'm sorry, but if you want to win a game, you know, you have to actually go forward. Aroge, in fairness to them, when they got a chance, it was any bit of space. They tried to move it at pace, and they kicked the ball in. Moved in the ball into Ross Dunphy, who was their ace in the pack yesterday, scoring 1-4 and could have scored maybe another 2 or 3 points or maybe 2 goals instead of some of the points. And like, Tinryland didn't seem to do that. They seemed to have the tactic of, you know, bringing out their full forward line a little bit when they had possession on the 45 and then putting in one of the two midfielders, Shane Redmond or John Murphy. But they only kicked in one ball to him. That's all they kicked in, as far
and
as I could
see. And that one
say.
Kick, it you know, did cause consternation in the Aero fullback line.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just amazing, like, that. I suppose there wasn't more penetration, that's the word I can use, like, from Tinryland, because I actually think they have a very good football team. I think the 15 fellas that started are really good footballers, every single one of them. But I have to be honest now, yesterday I was disappointed with them again, because that's two finals in a row they've lost, playing basically the same style of football. And to me, it looks as if they're relying on Paul Roderick or someone like Paul to put the ball over the bar from freeze. And that's not good enough.
Paul only scored 2 points yesterday, a mark and a free.
Yeah, and
young Jonah Dunn there came up on the full-back line, scored a point in the second half.
Yeah.
James McGrath came on, he scored a nice point. Cormac O'Brien, can't remember. I think that was fun play.
So these
lads know where the posts are.
They do.
But they just don't get enough practice doing it.
Well, I don't know what it is, but like, to me, they're fine footballers. I'm looking at Morris Lawler's a fine footballer. Conor O'Toole, you won't get a better defender really playing an attack. He's a fantastic young man. Conor McGrath is very direct as well. You know, Mark Mullen is well able to run. Niall Lowry, I don't know how many possessions he had yesterday, but he was like, they didn't penetrate, didn't get past the first line of Aroge's defence. And there were times when Aroge didn't have 15 behind the ball, they had 12 behind the ball, because they were having at least two lads up, maybe three lads up. So look, I think really Tinryland, I know it's disappointing, I know I'm not trying to hammer him here, but they really do need to have a look at the style of football that they're playing, because 7 points, 8 points, 9 points in the scored in one of the games is not going to win a county final. You want to be scoring. If you score 2 goals in a county final, you'll be very hard beaten. And, you know, Aroge got more than 2 yesterday.
And yeah, listen, Aerox scored what, 2.13 in the end yesterday, yeah. 4 points at half time, 2.9 in the second half. That speaks for itself.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it came out a totally rejuvenated team. They were very direct. Look, they have fine footballers as well. And they have fellas in attack that can score, and especially Ross Dunphy. I mean, like what a young man he is. 25 years of age yesterday, celebrating his birthday. And, you know, he really did very, very well. But Hulton, when he was asked, you know, I'm sure Turlough put it to him at halftime, you need to up your game, and he did. So the key fellas did up their game. And in saying that, they lost Cormac Mullins with a fairly serious-looking knee injury, you know, early on as well. And he had been like a busy bee going around the place, getting the ball, moving it on, and was willing to take on fellas. So I think Aerog were more willing to take on the opposition than Tin Ryland were willing to take on Aerog. And that, I think, proved the difference between the two teams. You know, that's just my take on it. You know?
Yeah, I was talking to Sean Gannon afterwards there. I've called him Lazarus there because in the paper this week, because he went down the last two matches, and like I couldn't see him finishing a county final, and I thought he was lucky to start, but he looked like a man, rejuvenated, as you might say.
He's tremendous healing properties, because I know he was down in Wexford on that special chamber they have down there to recuperate fairly bad injuries, and fair play to him for doing that, you know. And he was down there, I think, quite a few days, and it proved he had no straps on him, nothing on him, on his two legs, because he was one of the first players I looked at when they came out in the field yesterday. Now, he didn't burst himself with running sprints in 6.4 seconds or anything, but he was there, and he was there when it was needed. Got the ball, delivered the ball well, used every single ball perfectly well. So, look, what a fantastic player to have.
Yeah, listen, I have to make a confession.
Right.
And I got reminded about it plenty of times between the time the final whistle went yesterday and the time I left the ground. If I had a fiver for every time that I was told that I had predicted that Aerog would be in the relegation playoff, I'd be a very rich man. I'd be heading to the Caribbean next week.
Yeah.
Not somewhere else.
Well, the bottom line is nobody. I mean, very, very few people outside of maybe 2 or 3 people in Aerog, and even Aerog people were tipping their own team this year. I mean, Turlough was playing it down, everybody was playing it down. Turlough played a huge number of young players this year. So an awful lot of players actually got game time with Aerog in league and in championship. But he, I think, at the end of it all, he knew what his best team was going to be on final day. And fair play to him. I think he did a tremendous job, absolutely top-class job, in getting his team to peak, and to peak not just, say, for the first half, but the second half. He, whatever he said, whatever was said inside the dressing room at halftime, they came out a totally different team, and they were faster, direct, and they were precise in their passing. And they scored. Fair play to them. They deserved their... They deserve their championship, and now, you know, they're in the Leinster Championship proper. Looking forward to Leash Champions in a couple of weeks, in probably on a Saturday, I think, in NCP.
All right, that's good. Listen, let's work our way backwards.
Okay.
Work our way backwards to the Junior Football B final. Asca, worldy winners, sky blue all over the place yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's an unusual thing to say, like that Aerog, I suppose, lost a little bit of discipline, and Asca maintained their discipline. And I think that was a key factor in the game. Because sometimes, like, if a player gets sent off, other players can, I suppose, lift their game. But that didn't seem to happen yesterday. Instead, it was Asca lifted their game, and they got some fantastic scores in the second half. Fair play to them. They played really good right from the start. And, you know, Jamie Dooley, full forward, like, he's deadly. Absolutely left foot, right foot. Ben played very well, both of them.
They scored 3 points from play each.
They did, and John Dwyer put himself around the place, got ball, gave ball, did really well as well. Like, so, you know, those guys played really well. Conor Bryan had frees, scored them, and a couple of difficult ones, got them. You know, so hats off to them.
John Pirrie was absolutely ecstatic afterwards.
John Pirrie is a fantastic all-round athlete. You know, I saw him playing minor last year in Abbottstown, and he caught 2 or 3 high balls, a hurling game. Jenny Mack, it was just like a salmon leaping about 10 feet. It's just
majestic. And he's Asca born and bred, you could say. He's absolutely, totally and utterly committed to them.
Yeah, no, look, a great chap, an absolutely fantastic chap. But look, Brian Jackson, middle of the field, John Dwyer, middle of the field. Dermot Murphy fought fierce hard with his brother Shane at midfield, the two lads, you know. I'm sure Bobby, the father, was very happy to see them out there, but I have to say, John Dwyer and Brian Jackson, they did their stuff as well. Conor Byrne was kind of playing Number 11 on his back, he's double mix.
He's being well marked now as well.
He was. Yeah, and he's, yeah. But he's a fine footballer, really good distributor of the ball. But John Perry, like, what an athlete, fantastic athlete. You know, he was marked hard and he was hit hard and tight, but like he's able to bounce back. He's like a rubber ball. He's that quick. And look, he's a great athlete, fantastic athlete.
You were down there at the that goal.
I was.
Where Derek Hayden got it to a small spot of butter. I felt a bit sorry for Derek. I felt somebody, Jim McLaughlin, come onto the pitch, and I don't know, the two boys tangled when they come on. It sometimes happens. But Derek, I felt, he felt that he had been wronged. Hard to know at this stage, but like, you know, the way his body language, look, I've seen Derek get into trouble before and he just walks to the line.
Yeah.
But this time he was pointing at the umpire. I just felt he was maybe a small bit unfortunate. I could be totally proved wrong now. Yeah. Look at the video and you might see something completely different. Yeah.
I was talking to two other photographers at the time, Evan and Michael, and Michael just said to me, "Do you see what's happening there, Pat?" And I turned around and the two lads were on the ground and had their arms, I suppose, around each other. I'm not saying that anybody was striking or the rest of it. I don't know. Other players got involved and then, you know, the referee came along and he consulted his umpires and his umpires made the decision that a red card had to be issued and the red card was issued. And yeah, you're right. Derek was very unhappy at being given the red card. Whether it was right or wrong, I don't know because I didn't see what started it at all. But look, he was very unhappy at that.
I'd always say as well, Pat, too, that look, let two lads tangle. They're playing in the heat, white heat at the moment. Let two lads tangle. You and me tangle. If somebody else comes in, he's the person that goes.
Yeah.
Let the two boys sort each other out. Yeah. Because generally they'll move apart anyway. Yeah.
They will. Yeah. I suppose.
It's a tricky one for the disciplinary procedures and that kind of stuff.
It is. But at the same time, if somebody, like, we expect players, I suppose, and we all expect, if we were managing a team, we'd expect all our players to be able to manage themselves and control themselves. I'm not talking about yesterday's game, I'm talking about in general. And that's, I think, what's expected in the game. So if lads are not able to control themselves and manage themselves, well, there's, you know, the black card, the yellow card, and there's the red card, the ultimate sanction, which can be applied. And, like, if it has to be given, it has to be given. That's the way I look at it, you know, because we can't have a situation where...
Yeah, you're a former referee, of course.
Well, I am, yeah, I'm talking like that. But we can't have a situation where two lads are boxing each other and it's okay, lads, but a third fellow comes in and gets a red card.
Well,
and nothing happens the other two. Do you know what I mean?
Look, most of this boxing, anyway, it's shadow stuff. There's most lads that wouldn't know how to land a punch at each other.
Well, that's true, because, you know, when the dander is up, as a man says, you're sure to miss, you know?
Yeah.
Very rarely the fellow actually connects.
There's very few cold and calculated punches thrown in sport.
No, I agree with you. And then, thankfully, look, I mean, you know, teams, according as times are moving on, are getting more and more disciplined than what they were, say, years ago. There's no doubt, in my view, no doubt about that.
Yeah, listen, move back to the intermediate final on Saturday.
Yeah, well,
Clonmore, what can you say?
Wow.
Are they a senior side?
Oh, well, you know, they left the best wine until last. And I mean, the first 15, 20 minutes, 1-7 to something like to a point after 15, 17
7
minutes.
1-7 to no score.
What no score was it? Yeah. I mean, they were superb. They were absolutely supreme. The speed at which they moved the ball, the accuracy, like they shot, I don't think they had a wide and had scored maybe 1-5 from play. You know, it was incredible stuff. I don't think there was any free that they got in that. It was all from play. Some of the kicks were just fantastic, 40, 45 yards out, left foot, right foot, and different players. It wasn't Shane McGrath they were relying on. There was a whole rake of players that were taking the scores. So, like, tremendous boost for Clonmore. And on top of their ladies winning earlier on that day as well, I'm sure it was
I forgot about that. Yeah,
I'm sure it was
a
great night, or maybe two nights coming up.
There'll be a few nice celebration for both sides.
I have to say, I'm delighted for them. I feel sorry for St. Pat's because, look, they have put in a huge effort this year. A huge panel, and I think they were quite confident coming in, but it just never got going. And they weren't let. Clonmore just didn't let them get into it at all.
And we talk about contrasting styles. These two sides were very similar in what they played.
They were.
And they both had a real go at it. The teams that played in the senior final should maybe have a look at that.
Well, in my view, yes. Look, I go to get games to enjoy it, and it's very difficult to enjoy it if a team has possession, they're punching the ball back and punching the ball forward and punching it, and they're making no ground, you know, and there's no shot on target. Like, it's very difficult to watch, you know, I have to be very honest.
Yeah.
From an entertainment point of view, it's nil. Whereas Clonmore and St. Pat's yesterday was, you know, if you had to pay a tenner to get in,
on Saturday,
they got full value.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Oisín Dáil then, of course, as well. He's a guy we've been watching at the inter-county level, hasn't he?
He landed under 20, and performed well. I think he was injured early on in the year.
That's right.
As a consequence, he wasn't able to take a full part, but he was superior. He was serious now the other evening. Really good.
I was told afterwards that Owen Coleman is around the 40 years of age. I find that hard to believe. Somebody's caught me, aren't they?
Maybe he is. But I thought that they managed their team very well.
That's right. Owen Coleman, they brought him in. He contributes in every game when he comes in.
Yeah, and they brought in one or two fellas, especially there's one. No, he's not that young. I think David McCarney.
David Mulvaney.
Or Mulvaney, yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to him afterwards.
Yeah, and they bring him in, like brought him in for all their games. Now, he has huge experience and uses the ball really well and is in the right place at the right time. He's that kind of an experienced player.
Yeah, he's lost three finals, I think, with Clonmore. So he knows all about losing. That was the first time he won. Yeah. And he was saying to me, I couldn't believe it. I forgot that Clonmore had been senior 18 years ago.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing, you know. Mm. Now, look, I mean, I think they're a very progressive club. Their grounds and the rest of it is one of the best in the county. And, you know, they're a real go-ahead club. And I think they want... And look, they had a nice run last year in the junior championship as well at Leinster level, winning, I think, two games, like, which is good going in Leinster. So, I think they'll... Look, by comparison, say, with Fenna, who... I felt sorry for Fenna this year. When you go up, it's difficult to stay up. So, it'll be a huge challenge next year, depending upon what group they're in as well. But it'll be a huge challenge for Clonmore to stay up just for the year. Because if you can manage the first year, well, then I think that experience of being there for 1 year will pay dividends then for the second year if you can stay up.
Yeah.
So Fenna, I felt sorry for Fenna not being able to stay up the other night.
Yeah. I have just before we leave Clonmore, there were two certain senior county board officers who were pouring there on Saturday.
Sure they were.
Mr. Jim Bulger.
That's right.
And Jardine.
Yeah, and rightly so. I think, look, they were proud because not just the win, but the way they won. And, you know, why wouldn't you be proud of good football, you know? I know some people mightn't like it and all the rest of it, but I think it's lovely, it's attractive, and I think it has to be glorious, literally glorious, to be able to play in a team that's, you know, as forward-thinking and moving the ball at such pace. It must be really enjoyable.
Yep, definitely, Who got man of the match there? I can't remember.
I don't know. Had they man of the match?
I can't remember.
Look, if there was, I'd say it was Oisín Dáil would have been man of the match.
Yeah, he was very close anyway.
He was really good,
And he's only a young fella.
He is. Look, Rob Bulmer was excellent as well. Shane McGrath, he's a superior free taker. Luke Conley did an awful lot of good stuff. Matt Cullen, centre-back. And Shane Murphy, the captain as well. I can tell you one thing, he's a hard man to get around. He's as tough as nails, and you know he's a really good captain. I have to say, really good captain.
Well, you should talk about Luke Connolly there because I had him there. I did a quick interview with him afterwards, a video interview which I posted on social media.
Right.
And when we were finished, he turns around. He says to me, he liked the Across the 4 Legs podcast.
Does he
interview with Darragh Kelly, the teacher?
Okay.
He said, We captured the moments well about Dara being the kind of person that he is as a teacher, that he doesn't need to crack the whip, that lads respect him and lads understand where he's coming from. And listen, it was nice of Luke to say that. And
you know,
for a young fella to say that,
it's not easy to say. The importance of schools football, I think, is huge. Like, you know, the Arog team yesterday, the Asker team, all of them. I'd be able to tell you an awful lot about an awful lot of those guys for having had them at schools level playing good football. And it does make a difference. And Dara is making a big impact down in Hackettstown, down in the school down there. And that's paying dividends for Clonmore.
Yeah, listen. You
know, great. It's great to see it.
The junior final.
The junior final. Wow. A very interesting game. You know, first of all, congratulations to Marion for doing a really good job in the game.
We're not talking about her after the game, so she had to have done a good job.
I think so. Look, yeah. I mean, if a game ends level or there's a point in it, people will always, they're inclined to come along and point a finger at the referee, no matter who the referee is. And people are going to be more, they're going to think, oh, that decision or that decision didn't go our way. And you'll hear fellas saying, oh, look, we got nothing from him or the referee. I don't know. I think Marion did a really good job in the game, I have to be honest. Look, St Mullins at Marty Kavanagh, James Dial, two lads, in my view, who would definitely get on the county senior football panel if they decided to give up the hurley stick and just concentrate on the big ball. But they just had pace and they had power. Their accuracy, they wouldn't be the most accurate, and they'd be the first to admit that themselves. And I suppose the one thing about the St Mullins team is they play for the fun. They play football for fun. That's what it is. Hurling's their number one. I know Ger Lennon is there and he takes it seriously, and rightly so. But a lot of the players, they take it. When they're playing, yeah, fine. But it's not to be on end all. Hurling is their absolute number one. That's it.
Yeah, listen, Johnny Murphy, the referee, was in charge of that side as well, with Ger Lennon and a few other lads.
Yeah.
And he was saying that at half time they went in a point up.
Yeah.
And he said the boys were all down.
Yeah.
And he says, lads, if we had been told we were going to be a point up at half time, yeah, we'd have taken it. Yeah. But see, they had shot 7 or 8 wides.
Yeah.
So they were down because of that. Yeah. And they'd left Fighting Cocks in the game.
Yeah. I think the big difference was that Liam Shepherd is a fantastic footballer, and he has been for many years. But apart from Liam, they weren't getting an awful lot from some of their players. And I think St Mullins were able to close the game down. If you're going to play St Mullins, even if you play long ball, quick ball, the rest of it, St Mullins were just a little bit nippier off the line. Just from playing hurling, you're just, to me, if you're a hurler and you go and you play football, you're going to be a little bit faster off the line. And they intercepted 2 or 3 passes. Lads from the Cocks were standing, waiting for the ball. And the St Mullins lads, boom, in, got the ball, broke up the momentum, and went up the field and scored invariably. Like the Seamus Murphy taking some of the frees, fine free taker. And off the other side then, Chris Kavanagh, captain of the team, off the left. And
well,
they had James. I was able to balloon him as well. So like they had 3 or 4 fellas that were able to score, you know. And Marty covered an unbelievable amount of ground. Lads were talking about one great high ball that he contested, and the Coxman almost had his 2 hands on it. And Marty jumped, flicked it out of your man's hands, essentially, with 1 hand, and then collected it on the way down and was gone. Like, the guy is, you know, he's a very talented young man, you know, he's a fantastic footballer, as well as being, of course, an exceptional hurler. But look, it was a really enjoyable game, I thought. Again, the ball was moving, you know, it was fantastic to see Sean O'Brien coming on, you know.
Did the Cocks get a bit distracted by that, all the talk? And listen, I'm a member of the media, yeah, and it was certainly a point, you know, Sean O'Brien is starting, yeah, or he could be starting, and yeah, Tony Bulger had to tell me that, look, we're not telling you whether he's starting or not, yeah, starting.
Look, it's hard to know.
Was it a distraction?
I think it's great that Sean O'Brien was there. I think it was great that Sean O'Brien came on, and I'm only talking, I would say, as a sports person and somebody's interested in football. It was great to see him being part of it. I mean, from one of Ireland's best ever rugby players, and that's it. To be playing with his back with his club, I think, is just fantastic to see. And from an internal perspective, how the other players view that, I don't know, and I'm not sure about that. But from everybody's perspective, look, Matt Brown, one of the best photographers in the country, was here to come on and take a couple of shots.
That's right, yeah.
That tells you what the story was about. Yeah. You know, so he was the story from an outside perspective. From a Cox perspective, they wanted to win that final. They'd put a lot of work under Tony and Morris Brown, put a lot of work in. You could see it, but I think I think it's a 2-year program and it shouldn't be a 1-year program. And if they're disappointed if lads hang up their boots, I'd be disappointed in that. I think they should come back next year with the same panel, same management team if they can, and if they're willing to put in the time with them. And I think they'll be a better team next year. That's what I think.
Yeah, listen, I was talking to Tony afterwards. It's never easy to talk to a losing manager afterwards, but he was upright. He was articulate. He didn't feel sorry for himself.
Yeah.
Just got a new, I don't know Tony that well, but I just got a new perspective about him. I see him there, and I thought he was very honest and gracious in defeat as well.
Yeah, look, there are 2 good men. I worked with Morris now, and you meet a better trainer and better manager of young people, and he knows his football upside down, and he knows that he has a particular style of playing football. It's fast, it's attractive, it's a 15-man game. And Tony's the same. I mean, Tony was an exceptional footballer himself at Radfilly and with the county, and played for a long, long time and gave huge commitment to his club. So I think they have 2. I think the Cocks are lucky to have 2 really, really good men, and that are there with him. And I hope they're there next year, because I think they could go a step further next year.
The message for you is patience.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's like we can have a knee-jerk reaction to a defeat when we get to a final. You know, especially if it's our first one, and we can be looking at other people to come along to blame or point a finger at, instead of saying, no, do you know something? Let's learn from it, and let's learn from it together. And I think that message is there with them, with the more mature fellas in the team and the club. Then I think, you know, they can be there next year and really feature strongly again next year.
Yeah, listen, that's the 4 finals covered.
It is,
two relegation finals. You mentioned Fenner, and let's go back then to a Thursday night and Kilbride and Navan.
Yeah, yeah.
It was tough on Kilbride. Fair play to Navan.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure how their young lads would handle that situation. Yeah. They handle it quite well.
Yeah.
And they stay up and Kilbride go down to junior.
They do. Yeah. Yeah.
Life, it can be tough in sport.
It can. And I suppose Kilbride is probably the smallest football club in the county. You know, it is.
The county. If it's the smallest in the county, it can't be that big around the rest of the country either.
I took a photograph last year and people were saying, Jenny, there's a couple of young fellas inside. I said, Joshua, that's the entire club. That's the entire club. There's about 30 people inside in it. That's their entire club. It's not like Aroga or Ask or the rest of them. And Ask isn't a huge club either. But that was their entire club that was sitting down in front of me on a stool and a few lads standing and standing a second stool behind. That was it. So, you know, they didn't have... Quite a few fellas were sick, hurt, injured, or just not able to play anymore. And at the same time, you know, there was lads, and for the last 3 or 4 years, the lads were in their 40s playing. I mean, do you know what? I could not get over, in the first few minutes they broke through, and Dara Foley got the ball and he gave it to a young fella. Now, his name escapes me, but he gave the ball to Dara gave the ball to his young fella. Your man took the shot. He missed it. It didn't go over the bar. Dara didn't say another word to him. He just encouraged him to go for the next one. Like,
Dara's great. A great guy. And has played in Carlow when possibly he would have been looking to say, top class.
You know, and Kilbride, in fairness to him, never threw in the towel. And it was a tough night. And it wasn't, weather-wise, it wasn't a great night. Meishel had a better spread of good footballers. And they're a young team as well. Meishel are quite a young team. And... you know, fair play to them. You know, I mean, they got through their relegation. I really do feel sorry for Kilbride, but at the same time, you know, that sport, it's difficult.
It's cruel.
And sometimes it's very cruel. Yeah.
Just before I go away, or we go away and we finish the podcast for the season, well, the GAA football season, the local season, the photograph, did you get the photograph? Was that you that lined up the three Kavanaghs, the three Kavanagh brothers for the photograph? Or was that their own family? Did you get that one?
I did, yeah. I have that, yeah. Very honest now, I have to be honest, and I know people have been onto me big time, but I haven't had time to go through the photographs yet, to sort of put them up online on my website. I haven't had time, that's a fact, because I've just been so busy with all the matches. But I will get time over the next couple of days. But sure, look, Chris, a good footballer. I'm sure Jack is himself a great character, a great, great, great character. Yeah. I said to him after the match, I said, "Oh yeah, now Jack, now you're into Leinster football." Oh, jeepers, he says, "Never thought of that."
I said it's one of the boys as well. Yeah, I said Rangers can win the hurling and you can win the football.
Yeah. I got a great reaction from Jack. You know, a really positive reaction.
He is, yeah. Jack's great crack.
Ah, look, they're tremendous. And a great family. And they've given an awful lot to St Mullins for a long time.
Yeah, you know? Jack reminds me as well that I tipped Fighting Cocks to win that final as well. So I have no end of...
Well, you know, what is incredible is that when it comes to a final, anything can happen. And when it comes to a final, we can sit here, Kieran, before finals and think, oh, based on this and based on that. But in a final, anything can happen. And I think that's one of the great things about sport. And Carlow is no different than any other county in that fashion, that anything can happen. And this weekend we've great county final champions, I think. You know, we have. Aroga, fine team. And let's hope to do well in the Leinster Championship and the same thing with the rest of the teams.
Well said, Pat. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right.